RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So yesterday we had this through. It's a media release, so plenty of people receive this, but we have our copy. Media release from the Ministry of Health, Manatu Haora. Additional safeguards for puberty blockers. And they're telling us, and this is yesterday, the Ministry of Health today releasing an evidence brief and position statement on the use of puberty blockers for gender identity issues and outlining a more cautious approach to their use. Now, to talk about this, we've invited back onto the program Jan Rivers of GenSpect NZ and a founder of The Public Good. Hi, Jan. Welcome back.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me to speak again about this.
Okay, this is an interesting development, but and we'll you know, hear what you have to say about it. But one thing I did notice. Okay, no, I'll get to that shortly because otherwise I'm jumping the gun. Okay, so were you expecting, your group, should have we expected this?
We knew it was coming, and I think in an OIA from the Ministry of Health, it was revealed that it would be released before the end of the year, so a little bit earlier than maybe we thought.
Okay, so I read the heading there. What's it telling us?
Well, additional safeguards is kind of interesting because there have been no safeguards. So what it's telling us, the evidence brief is very welcome, and it's great because it reinforces what we've been saying, which is that the evidence for puberty blockers is poor. It's used a lot of the emerging overseas evidence to make the case. That there isn't really very much to support the use of puberty blockers. There's a really interesting piece of consultation that's been going on that will go on through until January, and that's about ongoing use and whether there is a need for regulation. And the experience in the UK has shown that there was a need for regulation, and that if that happened in New Zealand, it would be through the Medicines Act. And another thing that has happened is that there are some things which are not so good. They're disappointing. For example, the proposal will be a relief to GPs, which is that most GPs who are very ambivalent about prescribing puberty blockers, is that the future service will take place through specialist gender medicine doctors. And that's completely at odds with the situation that happened in the UK, where they decided that any psychologist should be able to assess a child and should be able to take them within the context of their situation through the community and mental health services. So what may be a win for GPs in that they don't get drawn into something that they generally have felt very unhappy with is that the service is going to be run by people who are predisposed to think that puberty blockers are a great idea. So it's hard to see really how the additional caution is going to come in. And there's another issue. Oh, yeah. Go on. Sorry.
I just want to comment on that because just reading the quote from their press release, this is the appropriate paragraph. The new precautionary approach signals the need for clinicians to exercise caution in prescribing, including the prescribing should only be initiated by clinicians who are experienced in providing gender-affirming care, that are part of an interprofessional team offering a full range of supports to young people presenting with gender identity issues. What that tells me is they've actually put it in the hands, like you said, of the disciple group, which is, that's even worse.
In a way, and the use of the language gender-affirming care is pretty indicative. Absolutely, because it implies that the view of the child of their own gender identity will be foremost, rather than seeing them in the context of their past, trauma that may have happened to them, autism syndrome conditions that they may be subject to, non-gender conforming behavior that may indicate that as an adult they would be likely to be a gay or lesbian, all of those things will be still be ignored in favor of affirmation, which is going to be carried out by people who think that affirmation is a great idea.
I'd be rubbing my hands. Yeah, now we've got
Nothing
it all to
much.
ourselves.
Yes. One of the good things is that the evidence brief does draw a distinction between what the Ministry of Health was saying up until 2022, what Te Whatu Ora are still saying, that puberty blockers are safe and largely reversible, what Project Village, a publicly funded advocacy group for gender medicine for children, has been saying, which is that they're safe and fully reversible and denigrating the CAS review as irresponsible. So all of those, this evidence brief is in at odds with the prevailing orthodoxy in New Zealand up until this point. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that much will change in the short term.
I sort of broke you as you were sort of going through there, sort of interrupted a bit, but okay, what else is in what they're saying that we should think about, caught your attention, means something, might mean something else, just like we've been talking about. I get the feeling they're letting themselves off the hook as slowly as possible.
It's. I think it shows every sign have be of being having been a heavily contested piece of policy work, which really kind of says it says some promising things and some hopeful things. Like the overview basically says that we know that the evidence isn't good. It's going to be a warning to parents. It's potentially going to provide counselors and psychotherapists who want to provide more in the round assessment, but the parents still have to seek out those people who are willing to do that, and those counselors and psychotherapists, psychiatrists and psychologists are still subject to the conversion practices legislation, which is now absolutely at odds with this new advice. So that's kind of an interesting conundrum.
The ministry's assessment is that the starting point for treatment is a holistic assessment, determining the full spectrum, etc. Holistic. So they try to head off people or treatment that goes straight to the puberty blockers here. They're trying to make some kind of
Yes.
distinction.
Yes, I think it's inadequately precise. And the point there is, how do you fail a holistic assessment if somebody thinks that affirmation, if you're going to an affirmative clinician, we haven't really changed anything. So we need some other steps in order to make sure that children are fairly assessed against their whole of life issues, if you like.
I guess it's the easiest way of addressing the awkwardness of going straight to puberty blockers and then to surgery and all of that without any sort of steps along the way. And I guess later on they can say, well, we did say holistic, we did say that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that one of the things that is really important is that we don't really have a definition for what is holistic, and we also have a mental health sector where the leadership is tightly bound to this idea of affirmative care.
Yeah.
And we also have a group of people who are highly motivated to make complaints against clinicians who do other than affirmation.
Okay, yeah.
And so what's really needed is something that provides those people in the mental health services across the range of professions with some assurance that if they were to do, I guess, diagnostic assessments. So holistic is kind of, I guess, diagnostic assessment would be your feeling that your distress, to which you are attributing
To gender
an explanation
dysphoria.
of gender dysphoria, does not have another cause. It doesn't, and that's and that calls can be addressed through other kinds of support. And that's one of the big things about the CAS review, which was that it looked at children in their whole 360 degree context, in the context of their lives, and it decided to treat gender dysphoria as it would treat any other mental health issue by providing support to the mental health issue and not jumping to conclusions about specific mental health issue directing you to a clinical course of action. And that sort of created a sort of level playing field. So whatever mental health issue you arrive at the health service with, you'll get the same in the round assessment.
And the appropriate and safe care for this group of young people is critically important. Well, of course it is, but that's a bit rich, isn't it? Because already the way we've operated this up till now, maybe it's changing now, has actually put the care and safety of this group, it has imperiled it, actually, you could argue,
Yes, I think that's
by forcing this affirmation, you know.
yes. I mean, I think yes. It's a change, and it's a promising step, but and it puts the emphasis on the other side in some ways to demonstrate that what they're doing is helpful,
Wouldn't it be
but.
helpful, though, Jan, if it's like the press releases from midday today, no more puberty blockers? It's done. It's over. But
Yeah,
it's not that, is it?
it's not that. No, it's not terribly courageous. And it leaves a lot more work to be done, and it still leaves a solution in the balance, if you like. You know, it isn't a stop. And I guess if we'd held a crystal ball, we could have imagined, I guess, that this is what might have eventuated.
But you can't, I mean, when people's lives are at stake, quality of life, and where their whole life could go if something goes wrong here, and I know it does, then you can't play, they're not playthings, those people, to be maneuvered around or used while you think of some way of walking back what will not age well, your attitude back in the day, it'll be then, to puberty blockers. We're not here to make them feel better. They've got to think of the people, and to maintain any sort of treatment this way until it's fully understood would just have to stop, wouldn't it? No matter what.
Personally, I don't believe that puberty blockers are ever a solution. And I also think that if you provide puberty blockers as a source, as a solution to gender dysphoria, rather than helping a child to be comfortable in their own skin, you're de facto giving preference to the idea of medicalization. And that's wrong. You know, there is the issue which has happened is that some of the mental health services have, in order to prevent, as they see it, stigma to people who identify as transgender, they're regarding it as an equivalent to being not transgender. And that's a really big mistake, because not being transgender and dealing with your distress in a way that requires you not to be a full-time, lifelong patient with a diminished quality of life always has to be a better option than becoming a lifetime patient. You'd say the same thing about a blood pressure medication or losing weight. You wouldn't.
Statins.
Medication is always the least good option if
Yeah,
you can
but what about do
avoid.
no harm, Jan? Sorry to jump
Well,
in, but
yeah, no,
surely
thank
the
you.
do no harm principle, as I understand it, being simple, you know who, is that you've got a lifelong consequence potentially of puberty blockers, the effect on the person, whereas talking about, you know, going through a difficult time in life, which may have put upon it a gender dysphoria for a description, may not have anything to do with that. We know that, you know, I mean, we've all been teenagers. We know how it can be, and for some, it's worse. But you can get over that in
Yes.
just a short period of time, some years, 2, 3, 4 years. All right. But the consequences of this stuff are with you till you die.
Absolutely, yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think there's something really important about that whole developmental phase, the idea that you can bypass puberty in some way is a kind of eugenic change. You know, we've never had a group of people who have bypassed puberty, and we don't know where that will lead, what aspects of their mental development will mean that they never are the fully rounded human beings that they could have been. It's lots of things in life become experimental, but it's an entirely unnecessary experiment.
Especially when you're having it put upon you by people who are tasked with affirming, and that's the mission, affirming what you in your, I don't know, young state, and your parents are all frazzled, desperate for anything, and you're affirming it, you know?
Yes. So your job and my job, Paul, I've come across this lovely term, and it's called a preference cascade.
Oh,
and the idea, have you heard this? It's when a viewpoint which has been hidden suddenly becomes mainstream. And we suddenly realize that between 80 and 90% of the population in New Zealand would rather not put kids on puberty blockers, which are going to affect the rest of their lives.
Yep.
And I feel that my mission is to find the language to help other people make that claim for themselves, that they too think it's wrong to diminish the lives of young people. Should be a really easy sell. The evidence is not there. Harm occurs. Lives are diminished. Children are eligible to have an open future, unimpacted by the decisions that adults make about them before they have the ability to consent.
And I'm just thinking, I've got kids in adult age now, but obviously none in this situation. But maybe people have to think, and I'm not telling anyone what to do, but okay, you've got a teenager now. And this is an issue. Think about when they're 40 and you're trying to explain to them why you let them do this.
I agree with you. The ramifications and the impacts for this course of action are almost intolerable to contemplate. And it becomes clear when you talk to detransitioners that their bodies are damaged, but their mental health is damaged, and their trust in adults is damaged, and their sense of belonging is damaged. It's like the directions in which the damage spreads out for somebody who has had this medication, and the lack of trust that those people will have in their parents, in broader society. It's kind of inestimable, really. I mean, I don't think there's been anything like it ever that has had these many ramifications on children and young people. I guess I kind of think about the AIDS crisis sometimes as an analogy. And I remember being a young adult when that happened. And I remember the kind of ramifications that happened for everyone in terms of the way they felt able to live their life, to initiate relationships, the impacts that it had on the people who became infected and their families, kind of prejudice that occurred to people. It's just like the effects are multifactorial, and it's the same with puberty blockers. The effects are multifactorial on the children themselves, their parents, their peers. And it's a huge experiment, which would be better, stopped and not continued with.
Okay, a couple of things quickly to end up. When they talk about evidence, back to this, the evidence, that's saying the CAS report without saying it, isn't it?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they say it?
The whole thing yet, but yes, it's basically looking at the emerging overseas research. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you think you'll be consulted, because they say that they're going to consult widely. Now, if they were doing that and they wanted to talk to people who had done a lot of thinking about this and taken action to do something about it, do you think they'll come and ask you, Jan?
I hope so. That would be great. I invite them to.
If you're listening, she's invited you to, okay?
And, yeah. You know, I often feel a bit of a fraud because there are many, many people who I get advice from who aren't at this stage willing to appear in front of the microphone. So,
yeah.
When you know, you're not asking, you know, Jan Rivers, you're asking a huge body of people with expert knowledge.
Well, I see also, I'm just flashing a few things up here. ACT MP Karen Schur, her quote is, adolescence can be challenging and confusing, but using medication to deal with gender identity issues can have permanent effects that do real long-term harm. So she's a reasonably high-profile politician. That's what she's saying. The tide is turning.
I think the tide is turning, yes. Mm. Yes. I mean, one of the things that I hope happens is that in Oranga Tamariki, in the Children's Ministry, there's currently policy to go it's like affirmation on high octane, and that really needs to be turned around. The advocacy, the sort of the idea that children in care for whom there is a high level of dysphoria generally, you know, they don't feel good about themselves when they've ended up in care, and yet the policy in that ministry is to support with affirmation. And that's an area where things need to be turned around, because you're looking at some of the most vulnerable children in New Zealand who've got often very nobody to advocate for them.
Okay, Jan, nice to have you back. We were talking about newly introduced restrictions on the prescribing of puberty blockers and the consulting on potential further restrictions from the Ministry of Health. So yesterday, and Jan, of course, founder of Public Good and spokeswoman for Genspect NZ. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you very much.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.